Turn to your neighbors, and I want you to tell them your definition of faith. Okay, so turn to your neighbor and tell them your definition of faith. Go ahead and do that right now. Just audience participation. Now, we want to make sure everybody's participating, so turn around if you need to, or because we want to hear everybody's definitions of faith. Okay, so how many of you believe that we all have the same definition? I would say that we probably don't all have the same definition of faith. But I'd be curious to hear, what did you say when we said, what is your definition of faith? Who's courageous enough to share their definition? You want to share your definition? All right, go for it.
Believing in something that you can't see.
Believing in something you can't see. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, hold on to that. Hold on to that, because we're definitely going to hit on that today. Faith is all around us. Faith is something that we do pretty much every day, whether we believe or know it or not. Think about this. When you go to the doctor's office, you are doing a faith journey from beginning to end. For example, you go to the doctor whose name you can't pronounce and whose degrees you've never verified. He gives you or she gives you a prescription that you can't read. You take it to the pharmacist that you've never met before. They give you a chemical compound that you've never really understood what that is. And then you do the most dangerous thing you can do. You take it home and you drink it with water, right? Believing that the water is safe, right? And then you do this according to instructions that are written on the side of a pill bottle that you're not really sure if are the right instructions. So what happens in any of these cases if this gets messed up? You can be in serious trouble, right? Now all of a sudden, now I'm shaping your faith. You're going, I don't know if I'm going to do this again, right? But faith is a part of that everyday kind of action. But what is faith? And does the Bible give us a clear definition of what faith is? Well, a lot of us, we move to Hebrews chapter 11, and we use this as our foundation because, like a good math equation, it says faith is being, right? So is stands as the equal sign, okay? So we can say that faith is equal to this. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, I would believe that many of us have heard or probably even have this verse memorized, right? I'll do a kind of a poll, but I'm not going to do that to you this morning. But I would venture a guess to say that many of us have this verse memorized. In fact, we probably use this verse as a way of defending a faith that many people don't understand. Right? So we use this almost as defense. But I think if we're being honest this morning, maybe it wasn't the first time or the second time, but even when we're saying this verse to people, I think that there's times, if we're really being honest, we go, oh, really? I don't know if I quite get this. Or we just kind of go, oh, I don't know if I feel really comfortable with this. And there's maybe a little bit of piece of that where you go, I just might need a little bit extra encouragement. I may need a little bit of help with this verse. Now think to this. Think about this yourself or to yourself. How many of you have heard this verse misquoted? Right? I think this is one of those verses that gets misquoted a lot. Because a lot of times we hear, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Right? I know that I've heard it that way before. I've heard people say, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. But does the scripture say cannot see? No. The scripture says do not see. And I think that this is a huge indication for us. It's a huge point of reference when we start to realize there's a difference between cannot and do not. Everybody say cannot. Everybody say do not. Do you hear the difference? Obviously, they're spelled differently and they sound differently. But when you dig down deeper into the meaning of this and you realize that the scripture says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And the cannot is pushed to the margins and we say, well, no. We have to understand that faith is something that we can see. Interesting. Hold on with me. We're going to keep moving. Next week, we begin, our Sunday called Faith Promise. And I want to lay a foundation of understanding this point of the purpose of why it's called Faith Promise. And it's not called Knowledge Promise or Reason Promise. It's called Faith Promise. And it's really important in the life of our church. This is something that I don't want us to just kind of gloss over or kind of glance over and not realize the importance of what Faith Promise Sunday is to the life of our church. And I want us to be prepared, even leading up to this next week, going into Faith Promise, of really tuning in to what God has for you out of Faith Promise. Because when you make a pledge, right? And I know we use the pledge word and all of a sudden people start getting a little nervous, right? Oh, pastor's asking us for money again, right? No, that's not what I'm doing at all. I'm providing an opportunity for you to step out on faith and trust in God. That's what it is. But it's between you and God, nobody else. And I think that's been one of the misnomers of Faith Promise. And it's not that at all. It's not about the church. It's not about you. It's about God. So as we keep moving forward, when I think of Hebrews 11, verse 1, I immediately think of a radio antenna. Now, I know some of you are thinking, wow, pastor, you're really creative. That's really awesome. Okay, so it's just my wife. But some of you are thinking, radio antenna? Really, pastor? You feeling okay? Is this something that you do often? Actually, unfortunately, it is something I do often. But I think of this radio antenna. Now, think about how radio antennas work, right? They transmit radio waves typically from a tall tower across a considerable distance. Okay? Now keep hanging with me here. Take, for instance, the radio tower down at Olivet, right? It's the tallest point on Olivet's campus, and it projects a message. And the message that comes out of it is on the frequency, shine. It's 89.7. Shine 89.7. And this campus radio station is actually listed. It's the only Christian college radio station listed in the top 10 Christian radio stations in the entire nation. It's the only one that's associated with the college. Everyone else, they're all independently owned. And so they produce a signal that goes out on the frequency 89.7 that reaches as far north into kind of Chicago area, Chicagoland area, and as far west as Valparaiso, Indiana. So it tells you kind of the distance that it covers. And it does it all by pushing out this signal at 57,000 watts, right? That's a lot. That's a big radio station. In fact, now they have four different radio stations that are on different frequencies, but they're stationed all throughout. There's even one in Indianapolis now. And so they put these antennas in different places because what do they want to do with the message from these antennas? They want to spread it out, right? They want to get that message out to as many people that will hear it. So they keep buying more antennas and they keep sending out more of a signal. And so you might be asking yourself, okay, pastor, what does this have to do with faith? I'm going to get to that a little bit later. Now, I'm not sure if you realize this, but in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for faith, the actual definite Hebrew word for faith, is only used twice in the entire Old Testament. It's in Deuteronomy 32:20 and Habakkuk 2:4. Those are the only two places that we find the definitive Hebrew word for faith. Now, different translations, as we've translated it, you know, with the NIV or, you know, other translations have added this word faith. But as we know it to be in the original Hebrew language, twice. But when we look at it in the New Testament, we actually see that the word faith shows up 244 times in the New Testament. So we go from twice in the Old Testament to 244 times in the New Testament. That's pretty amazing. That's a pretty large jump, if you think about it. Now here's the beauty of this revelation. Most of the time in the New Testament, there are different Greek meanings and translations to describe the same word. But even though the word faith is used 244 times in the New Testament, there is only one Greek word to describe faith. And the word is pistis. Everybody say pistis. This is the Greek word to describe faith all throughout the New Testament. So 244 times, every time you see the word faith in the New Testament, it is referring to this word pistis. Strong's concordance in the short definition, right? The short definition of the word is faith, belief, and trust. Now we have to understand that even though belief and trust are listed as descriptive words here with tied into faith, there is a difference between faith and trust. And it's different from belief and trust. Faith is the foundation that holds belief and trust up. In fact, the truth is, you can't believe and you can't trust until you have faith. And that's what we saw this morning in the skit. It's easy to fall back when you know Jesus is back there calling you and telling you, fall back. All right, Jesus, you know, and it becomes a part of our faith. We say, okay, in faith, I'm going to fall back. And then we trust that what's he going to do? He's going to catch us. But then Jesus sometimes asks us to do things that are out of our comfort zone. And he says, okay, now I want you to fall forward. Wait. But, you know, Jesus, you're going to catch me. You're in front of me. Right. Okay, so let's go to step two. Now turn around. I want you to fall back. And all of a sudden, you know, Randy looks back and he goes, but there, Jesus, you're not back there. Right? I believe in you. I trust you. It's shaping my faith because you're there. But now you're asking me to do something that's no. Right? And I think maybe we're a little bit surprised at the way the skit ends. How does it end? Randy walks away and he says, I can't. And what was the last thing he said? I won't. And for many of us, that's the example. For many of us, that's where we live. You know, it's a big enough step for us to be able to fall back and know that Jesus is going to catch us. And maybe there's times in our life when we've done that. But then Jesus calls us out to do something that's totally different than we've ever done before, or stretching our faith and saying, do this. You can trust me. I'm going to be there. I'm going to catch you. And all of a sudden you look and you go, whoa. I don't know if I'm ready to do that. And we say, no, I'm not going to do that. So now faith, when it's referenced in the Bible, is a totally different animal than we're used to. The first big game changer when we're talking about faith from the biblical perspective is that faith doesn't come from us. This might be new. This might be a new thought. Faith doesn't come from us. We tend to think, well, look how big my faith is. Or we measure other people's faith. Right? But the truth is, when we read the scripture, we're reminded that faith doesn't come from us. The only way that we have faith is it comes from God. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. When an author pens a story, the author becomes the originator of the story. And so Jesus is the author and the perfecter of what? Our faith, our story. Romans 12:3. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. There's a transaction that's happening between us and God. And God is pouring out and giving us more faith. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. So the grace that we receive is a gift, but how does the grace get to us? Through faith. We also learn that faith is an attribute of our spiritual lives. So when we look at Galatians 5 and we look at verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what do we learn about fruit? What does Jesus teach us about our spiritual fruit? Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20, thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruits, you will recognize them. When God looks at the fruit of your tree, does He see the fruit of faithfulness? Because when we look and we see that the spiritual fruit of our lives, that faithfulness is one of those, and He looks and He sees our tree that bears either good or bad fruit. Our tree, guess what, is bearing some kind of fruit. It's bearing some kind of fruit. Whether that fruit is good or whether that fruit is bad, it's still bearing some kind of fruit. So when He looks at our tree and He sees the fruit that are hanging from our tree, does He find, or then can He see the fruit of faithfulness? But how do we connect into this faith that only comes from God? Well, that's a good question. Romans 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So when we break this passage down and we add to the knowledge that we've already gained through the verses that we've read already and the verses that we've already discovered, and we add it to what we currently just heard in Romans chapter 10, this is what we find out. Faith comes from God, right? How does He communicate this faith to us? By hearing the message. And where is this message heard? It's through the word of Christ. So I know many people who walk around and say, I wish I had more faith. And I've heard even people pray like they did, like the apostles did in Luke, when they said, Lord, increase our faith. And there's a desire there. But the only problem is they don't go to the source of God's faith, which is what? His word. They won't go to the words in order to find out where that faith comes from. This is like wanting to hear your favorite song on the radio, but you refuse to turn on the radio to hear it. Now, think that through with me. Oh, man, I really love this song. This is like a great song. I mean, I remember I heard it once. It was really awesome. And you can only hear it on the radio. No, I won't turn on the radio. I refuse to turn on the radio. How are you going to hear your favorite song on the radio if you don't turn the radio on? Amen? So speaking of radios, let's go back to the antenna analogy. I know you've all been dying. Where's he going with this? Where's he going? So the antenna analogy. Antennas, as we know, send out a signal, like we talked about. And they're constantly putting out a message. Whether we're in the car or we're at home or we have satellite radio, whatever you're using to capture that message has to be dialed into the right frequency in order to hear what's coming from that particular antenna. You know where I'm going with this, right? You already know where I'm going with this. So if you're driving in the car and you want to listen to Shine 89.7, but you tune your radio to 87.9, are you going to hear Shine? No. You're going to hear what's ever on 87.9 instead of 89.7. And the truth is, when we look at this and we see that if we're not dialed in, we might have the best of intentions. We might say, I want to listen to Shine 89.7, but we turn to 87.9. Well, we got three numbers, right? We got three out of three. They're just in the wrong order. It doesn't matter what your intentions are. If you don't dial it in correctly, you're not going to hear the message. Right? And so when we look at this and we understand this whole idea of frequencies, this is like, it's like putting your Bible in a place to remind you to read it. Right? So you can put your Bible on your nightstand. You can put your Bible on your kitchen table. You can even open it up and leave it out on your counter. Or you can put it next to you in the car in order to remind you to read it. Right? But if you don't ever actually read it, you're never going to hear the message in it. Are you tracking with me this morning? I feel like I don't know if we need to get up and do jumping jacks or if we need to do calisthenics. I don't know if I'm just preaching this morning and y'all are going, this is heavy, right? But I'm telling you, we want to try to understand this faith, and we hear the message over and over again that faith comes from hearing His message, and His message is heard through His Word, right? And so a radio antenna has an impact that's directly apportioned to its power. The more wattage, the farther the message goes out. So true or false, the closer you get to the antenna, the weaker the signal gets. False. If this is a radio antenna, right? If I walk away from this antenna and I start coming all the way over here. Now, granted, we can't see the radio waves that are coming from this, but we know that antenna has basically a limited capacity to reach however far the distance is. But if I get closer to the antenna, what happens to the signal? It gets stronger. But now here, go here with me. You all are in trouble. I'm putting my book down. So now here, go here with me. I'm going to put this up a little higher so you all can see it, okay? If I'm standing here right next to the antenna and I want to get the radio waves that are coming off of it, I can't see them, but I'm hoping that they're there because there's a message to be heard, right? If I'm standing right here and I have a radio in my hands and the signal that's coming out of this antenna is 89.7, but I tune it to 87.9, does it matter how close I am to the antenna? No, because guess what? You're still not going to hear the message. You can be as close as you want to the antenna, but if you are not dialed in to the right frequency, you will not hear the message that's coming from that antenna. Are you tracking with me? So we have this understanding that the antenna is sending out a message. And it's really the way it is with God. God pursues us. And God seeks us out. Many times in our lives we ask the question, where is God? Where is God? What you have to understand is that He's right there next to you. The only problem is we're not tuned in to His frequency. He's just waiting for us to dial in to His frequency. God's message is truth, and God's message is always happening. And wherever we are in our lives, we have God with us. But we are the ones that control what we dial into. We're the ones that choose whether or not to really get into His Word. God doesn't force us. He doesn't magically open the Bible and say, now this is what I want you to do, right? It doesn't happen. You've got to open the Word. You've got to tune your radio to the frequency that's going to send a message that you are going to be able to realize that God is moving through that. And so, a lot of people ask, well, Pastor, how do we get tuned into that station? Well, this is where you start. You go out and you buy an antenna. Right? You go out and you buy God's antenna. Well, we're willing to buy antennas for our houses. You know what I mean? We're willing to buy antennas for our cars. We'll go out because why? We want the best signal coming into our house. We want the best signal coming into our car. We pay money for XM satellite radio because it expands our horizons and we get more stations and like we needed more. But the truth is, this is God's antenna. Faith comes by hearing the message. Faith comes from hearing the message. We have a ton of antennas in our life, and they're all sending a message. There are antennas all over the world that are sending us a message, and we are tuning our hearts. Our hearts are the receivers of the things that we love, right? So if we're hearing from these antennas that are sending the message, we're going to tune in our hearts to what we feel is the message that we're getting. And so you have all these antennas everywhere. And the antennas of the world tell our hearts to love power. The antennas of the world tell our hearts to love prestige. Right? The antennas of the world tell our hearts to love popularity, to love money, to love status, to love all of these things. What does God's antenna tell us to love? God's antenna tells us to love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said often, take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you. And what he's referring to in the scripture is yoke is actually teaching. And what does he say about his teaching? He says, my burden is light. Right? And I know sometimes for us we go, well, Pastor, this teaching is not easy. But the truth is, when you really peel it all back and you look at what his teaching really is, it goes back to the fact that it is simple. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It takes faith to find and believe in a message that many people don't and nor will they try to believe. It takes faith to overcome the temptation to believe your circumstances are bigger than your God. It takes faith to step out and allow yourself to be used to do mighty and incredible things in His name. It takes faith to say, where You lead me, Lord, I will follow. It takes faith to trust God when He says, fall backwards. And you don't know if He's really there or not. It takes faith to understand that God wants nothing more than to just pour His incredible blessing out on you. And He just wants your heart to be dialed in. To be dialed in. And so for us, faith comes by hearing the message. But if we don't ever open and listen to the message, how are we ever going to have more faith? How are we ever going to really hear that message? I want to turn real fast. This is I'm outside my notes. I apologize now. Turn with me to Matthew 14. Matthew 14 is an incredible story. It's the story of when Jesus walks on the water. If you go down to verse, I think it's 22. Yeah, it talks about how immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat. I'm just going to keep skipping down a little bit. You know, Jesus is going up on the mountain because he wants to mourn over the death of the loss of his cousin, John the Baptist. And he still hasn't had a chance to really mourn. And so he sends the disciples out. They're in the middle of the boat, which is a terrible idea because the disciples hate water. You know, I know that they're fishermen and it doesn't make sense, but they hate water. And it's all part of their custom and their beliefs. And so they're out there, and it says the fourth watch of the night, which means it was just about morning. You know, the sun was probably just maybe peeking up a little bit at that point. And it says verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, here's the first example. Peter is dialed in to Jesus's message. Peter wants nothing more than to do what his rabbi is doing. And so he says, Lord, if it's you, call me out onto the water. Peter wasn't just going to, you know, jump out of the boat. He was going to wait for his rabbi to say, jump out of the boat. Because he wanted to do what his rabbi was doing. So this is the first example. So he says, tell me to come to you on the water. Verse 29, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came to Jesus. Holy smokes. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save us. I'm going to keep reading. So immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. What does Jesus say to him? You of little faith. Now, the translation of this little faith here in the original Greek is actually talks about a size, amount. It's saying when it says you have little faith, he's not necessarily saying, you know, you don't have enough faith. He's saying you're not storing up enough faith here. Right. So he says you have little faith. why did you doubt? Now, when Jesus asked Peter, why did you doubt? I've heard time and time again really great messages around this scripture. But I think for us this morning, when we're talking about faith, is that Peter had faith that Jesus was going to be and do and say who he was. But equally, Jesus had faith in Peter. That Peter was going to do what he was calling him to do. He says to Peter, come out onto the water. The water is a perfectly safe place to be. And all of a sudden, Peter gets out there. And I'm sure we probably do the same thing. We're out there, and we're doing it, and we're like, oh, my word, you know. But then all of a sudden, we get distracted, right? We get distracted, and we start to sink. Where's Jesus at that point? Where is he? He's right there. Because what does the scripture say? He reaches his hand out, and he grabs Peter. Right now, here's the funny part in the whole transition of faith here. OK, was Jesus having a hard time walking on the water? No, Jesus wasn't having a hard time walking on the water. So when Peter all of a sudden realizes this, does he have little faith in Jesus, or all of a sudden does he have little faith in himself? Jesus says, you of little faith. Jesus is perfectly fine walking on the water. But in that moment, he's helping Peter to realize that, Peter, you lost faith in yourself. You lost faith in yourself. I'm here. This is a perfectly safe place to be. Faith. So for us in that scenario, Jesus is this antenna, right? He's sending out a message. And Peter is totally dialed in. Peter's like, if it's you, call me out on the water, because I want to be what I want to do what you're doing. Right. And so Jesus says, Peter, come out on the water. So Peter's dialed in. He's dialed in and he starts going out onto the water. But he has to know that Jesus is there with him. But then all of a sudden, of course, it happens. He gets distracted. But Jesus is right there. And he says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Peter had no reason to doubt Jesus, but he had every reason to doubt himself. I tell you all this because I believe that there are so many in this sanctuary right now that are just desiring and wanting to do incredible things for God. And I believe that there are many in this place that trust and believe and have faith in Jesus, but are fearful, not that Jesus is going to be able to hold them up, but they're fearful of that you yourself are not going to have enough faith. And I want to tell you, this is a great example that Jesus is sending out this message saying, it's safe, it's okay. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that everything's going to make sense. But it doesn't stop Jesus from saying, come. We can't see radio waves, right? We can't see them, but we don't doubt when we dial into a station that those radio waves are coming to that receiver, do we? No, because why? We're hearing the message. We can't see God. We can't see God, but nor should we ever doubt that when we tune in and dial into his message, that he's going to all of a sudden not talk to us. He's going to not use his word to be able to teach us. Faith comes from hearing his message. And a lot of us this morning have been crying that cry for a while. Lord, increase our faith. And so I want to direct us to the antenna, because he's got a message for us to hear. And I know that this may have all seemed really odd. But I believe for us this morning, this week, that if we start to really focus and we really start to say, Lord, show me. I want to dial my receiver, my heart, into your message. I want to hear more from you. And we open up his word. And we allow his word to speak truth into our life. Guess what? We are serving the most powerful, hang with me here, the most powerful antenna in the world. antennas are limited by their power. The antenna of Christ is unlimited. His message can reach any heart. His message can go completely round the world. And he's always there. He's just waiting on us to take this serious and to step out in faith and say, God, this is going to be huge. This is going to be huge, but I know this is what you're calling me to. So that's my heart for you this morning. That's my cry for you this morning. That we would hear. And then the coolest part of that is not just hear, but then it's do. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, not cannot. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for sending us a message over and over again. And Lord, never giving up, never ever giving up on trying to reach us. Never giving up, no matter how far away we get, you are always there. You are always calling out to us. You are always reaching down into our stories. But Lord, we are the ones that shield that sometimes. We're the ones that don't turn the receiver to the right station to be able to hear your message. Lord, we a lot of us have great intentions, but even our intentions fall short. And so, Lord, I pray that we would turn to you. I pray that we would tune in to your word. I pray that we would be able to increase our faith, but understanding the only way that can happen is if we open your word, if we read your truth. And so, Lord, I'm just praying this week that maybe something would click, that something would resonate in the hearts of the people, Lord, and that we would really tune in and just say, God, I need more of you and less of me. God, I want to hear from you, and I'm going to go to the source where I can hear it. And so, Lord, we thank you for the challenge this morning, and we thank you for being with us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are dismissed.